What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. This is episode 116, I believe. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
We are back for another awesome, awesome show. Before we get into today's topic, just want to talk a little bit about Evangelion, because I know I've been doing this thing where I talk a little bit about it here and there and like expressing how difficult it is to get through this show. It finally turned a corner.
Aww.
I want to say episode 16 or something or whatever. And a lot of the background information, a lot of the backstory of these characters are actually coming into play.
Good.
And it's like, oh, this is interesting now. This isn't, you know how people are like anime, or actually I should say the opposite. So nowadays with anime, if you have a slow moment or like a moment that doesn't have a lot of action, people get upset. So like Solo Leveling right now is, they had one episode, I think there was no fighting. It was just people talking and fans lost their minds.
Oh, wow.
They're like, I can't believe this. Blah, blah. And it's like, it kind of tells you how, as much as I like the show, that it kind of gets by on its action and this animation, right? And so I feel like what's funny is that not Gundam. That's another show that I'm watching. Evangelion, it is mostly action. And that is what's bothering me. It's like they have this bits of like, you know, character drama. But then it's like an angel attacks. And then it's like a little bit of melodrama, then angel attacks. And you get like some of their backstory here and there. But a lot of the characters after a while become, well, not all of them, but some of them become... just really annoying, like just to watch. You are very annoying. And I get why you have daddy issues or you have mommy issues or you have no parents. Well, whatever the case may be, you have some issues. And, you know, because they're making these children, you know, get into these basic mechs, half mech, half alien, you know, suits of armor to fight. And they're going through some stuff, you know, a la Gundam. But I feel like it's not... It wasn't enough for me to care about these people, like, at all. And so now we're finally get to the point where it's like, oh, I see what happened. Such and such was having an affair with such and such, and you're actually such and such and such and such. And okay, we got something now. This is cool. It's not just fighting.
Yeah.
And, you know, hints at like some type of catastrophe. Like we're actually getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I'm liking it a little bit more. So I might actually finish it this year.
You might this year.
I always get knocked off and I go watch something more current. It just is what it is. And
it's March.
So I'm happy. Yeah, we'll see. We will definitely see. But it's getting there. It's
good,
getting there.
Good.
And I say that as I, even though I mentioned Gundam, I have stopped watching Gundam to watch this one because that was also doing something similar where they fought all the time and there wasn't enough. I know there's a good story under there. I don't need the action as much as you think. I really don't. Especially when it ends in a very Sailor Moon-esque, where it's the same transformation, do the magical whatever, the thing dies, and then you're back to normal over and over and over ad nauseum. So,
agreed.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Have you been watching anything interesting as of late?
I want to say that I have, but also I have no memory of the past week outside of work. I do know, I don't remember if you see the post that I'm really going through it. I'm just going through it. I just, anyway, I don't remember if I mentioned last time we recorded that I started watching Gundam, the CGI one. It's on Netflix. Blitz.
Oh, okay.
And I managed to get through, I think, the first episode.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I haven't picked it back up again.
It could be kind of rough.
It's just,
it could be kind of rough.
It is, and you know, I think that I don't know what's going on here. They just, they put a lot of effort into this, you know, there's money being spent and they had their token redhead girl. There's always a token redhead girl.
Yes.
You know, and And I just feel like I don't know if it can hold. Maybe it can in further episodes, just like you're saying, with
Right.
where, you know, with Gundam and Evangelion. And I feel like not all of the shows should be like this. Like, not all of the
Yeah.
Gundams. Like, come on, you gotta. Because I don't know, you know, I'm like, okay, well, there was a lot of action. There was a lot of, like, there was a lot going on. But it
Yeah.
wasn't, it didn't make me say, oh my God, I have to watch this. And maybe that's because I know a lot about Gundam, you know?
Could be.
Because
Could
it's
be.
like, because I'm not shocked that an actual Gundam shows up and starts
Right.
ripping through y'all's mobile suit, you know? You guys are all happy that you got mobile suits, but an
Yeah.
actual Gundam shows up and is like, slip, and then you're like, everybody's like,
Yeah.
what is that? Yeah, I've already been through that with like three of the other Gundam series that I watch, because you know
Yeah.
they all have the same formulas. So like I don't know. Maybe like with this being computer animated, it didn't make me go, oh my God. The only reason why I watch it, because I was like, what the hell is this? I was like, what is this? And then like I turned it on, and then I was like, D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d. I'm like, okay, I'm just watching Call of Duty on a video. I guess it looks like a video game, but not in like the great way. Not in like, oh my God, look, this looks amazing.
Right.
Like, it, no, it just looks like a video game that you've played before. And
Yeah.
but so yeah, and yeah, so that was kind of all I felt. But the thing is, I know I've watched some other interesting stuff, like outside of like Pantheon, which we discussed last time.
Right.
At least I feel like I did, but I can only remember.
That is a special, that's rough. I'm gonna need
Yeah.
you to we're gonna have to have a watch party or something. We got to get you, because if all you remember is like work and your work isn't the greatest, then it's like that's like a goldfish syndrome type thing, like where they only remember, so like I think it's, and don't quote me on this folks, but I think they only remember like 5 minutes at a time. So
So sad.
if they were in pain for 5 minutes, it's their whole life, you know? And that's shockingly disappointing, or not disappointing, but just depressing. So we need to,
Yeah.
yeah, we need to maybe watch some more of the Gundam. Like, even though it's, you know, you've seen it already, you kind of know what to expect. And for people who are like, you know, well, I can't even complain about too much action. It's not really the action in and of itself, because I remember watching like Transzor Z, and like Voltron, and they very much do the same thing, but the way they handle their story, there wasn't a lot of, you know, this myth, mystery or backstory that's like, which is clearly what it is, like front and center. Like, we want to talk about what's happening to these children as this is going down, their mental state and all this other stuff. Like, you are presenting something interesting and then stopping to have a lot of action. And I think that's what bothers me. Not so much the repetitiveness, but it's the fact that there's something here. Whereas like Transzor Z isn't very deep. So I'm like, yeah, I'm watching this because I want to see robots fight each other. Whereas like in these other animes, like, you have a really good story here underneath all this extra stuff. Let's get to that. Like, how many episodes do we have to watch before we get to the good stuff? And, you know, it's finally getting there. And I'm appreciating. So now when a fight happens, like, oh, I get it. I see why. And I also want to say the notion, and I know I've done this because I've done this with One Piece. The notion that you have to get through the first whatever to really enjoy the show. Yeah, that's some BS. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Nope. Because the whole idea, especially when it comes to a pilot episode of anything ever, you have to hook the audience there, especially nowadays, because there's so much content. Like, one of our topics we're going to be talking about is a new anime that's coming out soon, and how one of the animated or animation studios makes a ton of animation that we like. And it's like, oh, they just from that studio, you have like 12 series. So you can imagine from all these other places, there's so many different things you can be watching. If it doesn't hook you right then and there, at least in the first three episodes, there's a good chance this person's never coming back.
We're not.
Like, if it wasn't for the acclaim that these shows have gotten over the years, I wouldn't be watching now. You
I'm with
know?
you.
So, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. And again, I'm watching this so we can have some dope breakdowns on anime,
yeah,
in of itself, the evolution of the shows that we love, as well as how they kind of map out with today's anime.
Yeah.
Because there is a kind of like how mecha anime was really huge back in the day.
Yeah,
Shonen has taken over, and it's Shonen's not going anywhere. And so it's gotten to this weird point where if you don't watch Shonen, so Shonen being basically action-based anime, mm-hmm, targeted towards young men, that you don't know anime. But there's a ton of different genres of anime.
Yeah, because I don't do Shonen like that.
Yeah, you know, there's the stuff that's like, you know, Studio Ghibli, where it's like a film. Mm-hmm. You know, he does all films and stuff like that. You have shows that are like horror-based or romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. There's a romantic comedy anime.
Yeah.
You feel me? So...
slice of life.
But Shonen is like the biggest thing. If it's not Naruto, Bleach, well, it was those. Now it's One Piece and
Baruto,
Dragon Ball. Like if it's not one of those, or Jujutsu Kaisen,
yeah,
which is another show that one of the studios we're going to talk about does. So yeah, we can actually roll into our first topic. There's a new anime dropping. And I saw this first on Gizmodo. Shout out to Isaiah Colbert. That's the homie.
Homie.
They wrote about the new sci-fi anime that's coming from the Cowboy Bebop creator. For those who don't know, that's Shinichiro Watanabe?
Yeah,
Watanabe. There you go. I suck at names. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's okay.
But that's the new anime that's coming from them. It's going to be in April. It's dropping in April, I believe, April 5th. Mm. And they released a trailer. They released a trailer that kind of laid out the scope of what we're, you know, getting into. One of the first things I noticed with the trailer was that it had a jazz soundtrack, which, I mean, come on, son. This is what we expect.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. Or hip hop, because, you know, Champloo is right there. So I expected this.
So good.
But the trailer talks about how in the future, a doctor named Dr. Skinner makes this drug that people take to basically cure all pain. So if you are, you know, coming off of an injury, or you have, it's everything from like minor injury or minor headache type stuff to like, you know, a disability. It cures all that stuff. But then 3 years after the drug hits the market and it blows up, everyone discovers that the drug actually has a fatal side effect. And Dr. Skinner basically tells everybody, hey, yeah, you guys are going to die in the next 30 days. I think it's 30 days.
Something like that.
If you don't find me, I have the cure and you need to come find me. If you don't find me, everyone dies. Whoever took the pill dies. And that's a significant amount of people, considering it was a great thing. Like, you know, they thought it was the best thing since whatever. And that sets off, you know, this team of, I don't know if they're agents, secret agents or not, mm-hmm, but essentially there was a special task force set up to track him down, mm-hmm, to get the cure before everyone dies. And that sounds really cool. Like, that's not, I'm really interested in why he would do something like that. Like, right. Why would you like purposefully poison everyone? And, you know, and then be like, come find me. Like, aha, I got the cure, come find. Like, what is that about, fam? What was also interesting about this, outside of it being a, you know, from the creator of Cowboy Bebop, is all the talent that's wrapped around this project. Mm. So, for instance, we have Kamasi, saxophonist. We have Flying Lotus. We have, you know, in terms of doing the music, we have MAPPA, the animation studio behind Jujutsu Kaisen, Chainsaw Man, the final season of Attack on Titan, a bunch of different stuff. They're working alongside, I think it's Sola Entertainment, to produce the anime. We also have, they released the voice cast for the American and Japanese voiceovers. And won't you know it, some of the actors from Cowboy Bebop are actually voicing some of the characters in this show, which I thought was pretty freaking dope.
They like
shout out to Spike Spiegel fans out there,
right?
So I thought it was interesting, and I'm looking forward to checking it out. The second thing that I thought of, outside of the talent that's assigned or, you know, that's taking part of this, was the animation. The animation looks good, But at the same time, I feel like, and this kind of goes with the, some of the stuff we were talking about before, I feel like MAPPA is stretched thin with all the shows that they're producing. And I could be wrong, but I have seen like online where some of the animators have talked about how things aren't the best all the time. And with so many shows under their belt, you could kind of see there's a like a level of talent or like a benchmark that they set for like, we're going to make really, really good animation. And then you start to see the fringes of that where it's like, this looks really good, but there's something missing here.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I don't know if that's because of all the work they're doing, if they're not being treated properly or whatever the case may be, or, you know, they're overworked or whatever, but there's just something, there's a fluidity that's missing. And I think that they're trying to harken back to Cowboy Bebop in the way it was animated, at least based on the visuals, what it looks like. It reminds me a lot of Cowboy Bebop. If I didn't know better, I would be like, oh, that's Cowboy. You know what I mean? Like that's similar to what we've seen before. Just a new version, right? But like the framing is different. Like there's parts where they show the fighting and it looks really good. It's fluid. It's great. And then there's parts where they're like talking or they're like just moving through the city. And it's like they drop the frames or whatever. And so people look stiff and, or either when they do get into a fight, if it's not as smooth, it'll be like almost as someone remove frames in the sense that like one scene cuts to another too quickly.
Yeah.
And you saving miss money. The, I mean, I can only go by, cause I can't speak to any person's skill or, you know, a lot of people like to say they're lazy or stuff like that. I won't speak to that because I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but what I can say is what it looks like. And it looks like a little bit of a, you know, there might be some corners cut here or there.
Yeah.
Based on what I've seen them do in the past, right? And granted, this is a trailer. Similarly to what we were talking about with the Looney Tunes trailer, The Day the Earth Blew Up, this is all we got. All we got is a trailer.
Yeah.
And so until we see the actual show when it drops on April 5th, this is kind of, you know, what we have to go on.
Yeah.
But it will be releasing, I want to say, on Adult Swim? Yes.
I don't have that channel.
It'll be on Adult Swim. And I think it will also be on Crunchyroll, but I do know it's going to be on Adult Swim, and then it's going to be on Max after, like 30 days after the English language premiere. So it's going to be the Japanese version first and then Max with the English dub. So I'm pretty sure it's going to eventually be on Crunchyroll, but not immediately. So if you don't have Max, and if you don't have, well, I mean, yeah, you need Max.
Yeah.
Unless you watch, you know, on TV. I know that sounds weird because we don't have cable. It's just why?
Yeah.
So it sounds weird for me to be like, oh, you just turned this channel. Like, nah, I haven't had cable in years.
I don't know what shows come on when and why and how. I don't think I know what network TV is anymore.
I think the only network really is like HGTV, and that's because it's on when I go to my parents. Like if my mom isn't watching, or my dad, they're not watching sports. My mom is usually watching that, or it's like a, depending on when we go there,
yeah,
it's like the run of like the older shows like Murder, She Wrote or Matlock on not AMC. What's the channel? It's one of the channels. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's basically, we don't have cable. So I can't tell you. I have streaming apps.
Yeah, we have apps.
Is what we got.
We have apps.
We got apps. But what did you think of the new anime, Lazarus?
I thought it looked, you know, pretty cool. I did. I mean, like, I think that I was excited because I was just like, oh, cool. Like,
Something new.
Yeah, something new. And it's from, you know, Shinichiro Watanabe. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm here for it. I actually am. And then I kind of got a little overwhelmed because I was like, oh, am I going to add it to the list of shows that I'm not going to watch? I mean, we're going to watch it. We're definitely going to watch it. But like, I feel like I have been really struggling to put on new shows and watch them. like, obviously, and we do a lot of times, we're like, okay, we need to watch these things because we're going to talk about them, and we watch them so you guys don't have to. But like, sometimes it's just hard for me to like get into something new. And I think one of the reasons I was able to get into Pantheon, because it just popped up and I was like, okay, this is something that I can just kind of put on in the background. And then it actually ended up really getting me on that first episode. And I was like, oh, so I am kind of excited for Lazarus. And I did think it was kind of interesting. It's like, oh, by the way, I'm going to make something and make you guys find me for the cure. Like, dude, what?
Right. Like,
because,
like, why?
Well, not to spoil Pantheon for everybody, but there is a part where something like that happens with the character where they're like, oh, by the way, this is what we're doing. And if you want to live, this is what you have to do. That literally happens in season two of Pantheon. So again, not trying to like spoil it, but something similar does happen. But it's not the whole premise of the entire show. So it's just a thing. So I just thought that was going to be cool. I'm excited for it. And I know I don't sound as excited, but that's because I really haven't gotten much sleep in the last few days. And I'm tired. I'm tired. And I only have one lamp. So it's not like bright lights are keeping me up. Like, I'm exhausted.
Not the one lamp. The
one lamp.
And that's the fourth wall breakage there. We were talking off camera about the lighting situation where Tess is at. And she's like, I have one lamp. It's over there. I'm not getting up. It's just what it is. And I feel you, because the week has been, you know, the whole reason we didn't, you know, there's multiple reasons why we weren't able to record earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess it'll be easy to pretend like nothing is happening, but for instance, a few weeks ago, so our one of our toilets broke.
Oh God.
And we had someone to come out, you know, like a plumber come out or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was helping because it was an older gentleman. Yeah. So I was trying to help him remove the older toilet.
Okay.
To put in the newer one.
Yeah.
And like in the process of carrying it, because we had to go downstairs. Yeah. Because it's awkward. It's just an awkward thing to pick up. Right.
Yeah.
It like slid back and like hit me in the face. And like the part of my right eye was I didn't know it was swollen. Like, it hit me and I was like, oh God. But I was like, I'm trying not to drop this on this older dude as we're going down the steps. And so we get down and like, you know, I feel it. I'm like, oh, whatever. And to make matters worse, it wasn't even the right toilet. We had to get a whole different toilet.
Oh my God, I'm done.
But we, so like a few days later, I'm like pressing. I'm like, ah, is this swollen? And my wife is like, yep, it's definitely swollen. I'm like, oh, great. So like, it's just, and that, granted, that feels like that's very much a first world event, but when you start to add a bunch of those things together, I'm not going to do it here, but when you start to add them together and you have a span of a week of just things like that happening, where you do a bunch of stuff, you move everything out of the way, you try to get something fixed, and you have the wrong thing, and in the midst of that you get hurt.
Yes.
It's like, son of Anita Baker, it's just not fun.
Thank you.
It's not fun.
Thank you.
So I totally get it. Also, I was going to say, when you were like, you know, it seems overwhelming and I might not get to it. There's so many things in my queue right now in Netflix that I want to watch, have not been able to watch.
Yeah.
Either because I'm writing about something.
Yeah. So
I have to watch that. Or it's because it's much easier to go back to something that's comforting.
Yes.
So for instance, instead of watching something new on Netflix, I've been watching A Different World. As you guys know, it's one of my favorite shows of all time. And despite the fact that they've upscaled it to 4K and it's doing some weird things with people's faces and whatnot, I'm pretty much enjoying what's happening. I'm enjoying it. Also, stop doing that. You're doing it wrong. Don't use AI to upscale. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyways, and that's actually a big thing with streamers, which is why they have a lot of those older shows. Mm-hmm. People tend to watch what they know.
Yes.
Because they know that they're going to have a good time and they don't feel like their time is wasted.
Yeah.
So you're not in the minority in that case, is what I'm trying to say.
And you know what I did do, though? While I was nursing my knee that I hurt at work, I've been nursing my hurt. You got hurt. You got hit in the face with the toilet. I got hit in the knee with a hand truck.
Oh gosh.
Like life. But I did, right? My brain just registered that I did watch Meghan Markle's show. And I like, oh, you can't make me hate this woman. I like people who don't like her. I literally don't trust you. She's a sweet person. Like, I don't know what's wrong with people. Like, this narrative that they try to make of her because she married a prince is just stupid. It's bad.
Isn't that like the thing that correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, but isn't that like a thing? Like, that's a fairy tale thing? Like, you married a prince. Now, granted, you didn't think the prince's family was going to be racist. I get that.
Right.
But the idea of like, oh, you married a prince, that's like a thing that people,
yeah, people want, aspire to.
Right. She like, did it. And that's, you know, yeah.
Yeah. If you want to hate on her for that, well, I mean, that's probably what you should be hating on. Be like, God, I hate that girl. She married a prince. Yeah,
right.
Be a hater. But you know, yeah, when you're a hater, you have you need to be honest about being a hater. Like, you can be very successful if you're just honest about your hateration. Okay? That's what you're doing. But if you try to deny it and it's like, so you're not even a proud hater? Like, just be like, I'm just hating, because you know, you'll be so much happier when you are proven to be a hater. Don't be closeted about being a hater. Just be out and proud and out in the open. It feels better. Be like, I hate her because she has what I want. I don't hate her.
Hey, that's the first step to healing, is admitting you have a problem. Or you could be like Kendrick, like, just hate everything about a person. And you know, hopefully the culture is feeling the same
yes,
way.
Yes. Hopefully. Yes. And then and you get a Super Bowl, because what?
Right. There you go. You hate and got a Super Bowl. That's how you hate.
That's how you hate.
Hate for a goal. That's how you do it. That's
yeah. Because if you're not hating for money, if you're not hating for paper, then I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. You're hating backwards. You really are. It's just.
We should hold a master class. I don't know.
Right. Right. But yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing it when it drops. If I have Max when it drops, speaking of which though,
yes,
apparently Disney, Hulu, and Max are making a killing when it comes to the streaming bundles and such.
Smart.
So I'm over at, Deadline looking at this, from, I think it's Dade Hayes. I believe that's how you pronounce her name. Talking about Disney Max bundle is crushing it, and it's better than, they're having better subscriber retention than Netflix, which is wild,
yeah,
considering Netflix was one of the only streamers in the black for a while, like especially during COVID. And, you know, they've been, you know, steadily raising their price, and people still aren't necessarily leaving Netflix, at least not the way you would expect, because Netflix is kind of killing it. At the same time, though, Disney, the bundle, is doing really, really well, to the point where it's better than Disney's own bundles. So like the Disney bundle with Hulu and ESPN Plus isn't doing as well as the Disney Hulu Max bundle. And they measured this by looking at the subscribers. So in what they were saying was like around, I want to say around 80%. So like 1.6 million customers who signed up between July and December for the bundle were still subscribed 3 months later. That wasn't necessarily the case. I think that with Netflix and Disney, Hulu, ESPN, it was around 50%, 55%. Mm-hmm. And even though the Netflix is still doing really well, it kind of makes you go, huh, considering that the bundle costs more than Netflix. Mm-hmm. By a decent margin, right? And so the fact that people have kept it and have not unsubscribed is very telling. And for me, I would say it's the fact that you have so much content under one umbrella.
Yeah.
If you like TV, even if you like in terms of cable, Hulu is the best way to go because they get shows that are on TV.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I have Hulu is for those type of shows that I can't necessarily get because I don't have cable, right? Disney Plus, I mean, you have Disney's back catalog of everything, plus anything Marvel related. Speaking of which, Daredevil just dropped. I need to go watch that. That's something else I need to watch. You have that as well. And then you have Max, which has all the WB stuff.
Yeah.
You know, DC. From the DC, the new DC stuff coming out. You have the older film, or just films in general. A lot of like films are on there. And then you have shows, the hit, you know, HBO shows like The Wire and stuff like that, which again, people typically watch the older stuff versus the new. And so that makes sense. So you have a bundle of really, really a ton of content. Mm-hmm. And if, I don't know if you do, I don't like the Discovery side of it. But if you like that too, that's part of the Max, you know, app or whatever the case may be. So yeah, that's a lot for what you're paying for. It's still too pricey for me, but I'm not mad at anybody who would pick up that bundle and kind of stick with it. It just makes sense. It's three different companies. I never thought I would see HBO with Disney.
I thought that was weird. I was like, wait, did somebody acquire somebody?
No. So what we've been seeing, it's very interesting because we talked about this before where WB, Discovery WB, because they bought them, they were talking about how, you know, certain films and stuff weren't making money on the streamer. And so they were like removing things. Like even if they were done, you know, the Batgirl film was finished and they just,
and they
were
not going to release it.
Right. They scrapped it. Right. But then I started seeing a lot of WB films on Netflix. So like the DC movies were starting to come to Netflix. A lot of their content was coming over to Netflix. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. And then it was like, well, it makes sense. Netflix is the most popular right now. If you have content that isn't really, you know, doing it on your app, you could pay a little bit of money, or Netflix can pay you some money to get it over there, right? And so you make money both ways. But for them to actually partner with Disney, I was like, oh, considering their direct competition with, you know, not only in streaming, but within like in the theaters and stuff like that, it was like, huh, someone broke bread. Similarly to Sony and Disney, someone broke bread and was like, you know what? Maybe we can make this work. And apparently it's working.
It's working.
I would love to see the breaks, considering I want to say Max has to have the, I don't want to say short end of the stick, but you think like, because Disney owns part of Hulu.
Yeah, I thought they were the same.
Yeah, so it's mostly Disney with this and then Max, you know what I mean? So I would love to see the splits,
yeah,
if you will. But it's interesting because, again, it's an expensive bundle. When you compare what you could get, like you could get a ad based version of these apps. You could potentially just get Disney and Hulu. You could do what I do, where I sub every so often and then unsub. You know, it's a hassle, but I only sub when I want to watch something that something drops on the app. You could do that. And those are all viable options, but people are like, you know, I got it. I'm going to stick with it. These are the top three, which could be scary for Netflix, considering Netflix doesn't have a bundle with anything. And
Netflix is a bundle with itself.
Right. It's just, I mean, they used to have the DVDs. They don't have those anymore.
What's that all about?
Well, it's just no one was using it.
There.
They had warehouse. No, you weren't using it. You have the DVD still. And they were like, just keep it. They was like, you know what? You good. We ain't even got nothing to play it on. Just keep it.
Why you gotta call me out like that? Why you gotta tell people my business? You don't know me. You don't know me.
Come on, son. I think it was in the press release. They were like, hey, we shutting this down. And if you still have the disc, just keep them. We good. You ain't gotta send them back. We gonna write it off. It's okay.
And they put my name in there, didn't they?
Right. And yes, we're talking to you, Tess. That's what they said. We're talking to you. Just keep them.
I'm just talking about changing my name. I did not have that thing. That was not registered under my name. So I don't know who they're talking about.
You sharing passwords and such?
I mean,
oh man,
I don't know what that is.
I'm not mad at it. So yeah, and I think that it is interesting though. I think that it makes sense in terms of the amount of content. It does. And having one login potentially for the bundle, I think it's one login. I could be wrong, but having one login and you have all this stuff, especially if they had a unified app, because if you get, for instance, if you have Hulu and you have Disney Plus, you can actually watch the Hulu stuff on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So you don't have to sign into two apps. So if they have anything like that, that would be even better.
That'd be so crazy. Can you imagine like the, can you imagine Hulu stuff, but like with Max's interface?
Oh God. Yeah. They,
that'd be
yeah,
so
pick,
bad.
Pick the best one.
The best the interface, please.
Pick the best one. I and for me, it was probably be Hulu.
It's going to be Hulu, hands down.
Hulu's been around a long. Yeah.
They were the first. Netflix,
yeah, if you can't do Netflix, do freaking Hulu. Like, just stop. It took me a while to find, oh my gosh, like, just new stuff on their app. I'm like, you just advertised this. Why can't I find it?
Can't find it. Like, I really struggle with Max. You know, I struggle so hard.
Max.
And all I want to do is watch one thing. I want to watch John Oliver. That's it. And I always have to do the search because I can't just scroll and find him. But Bill Maher always wants to show up. And I don't watch Bill Maher. Sorry. I stopped watching him a long time ago. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Always.
I think the only
up.
One that's worse than Max is like maybe the Apple TV one.
Yeah, that one's bad. I only used it one time.
Granted, Apple does a really bad job of like promoting their shows anyways, but like even on the app is like, here's two shows that we think you're going to want to watch, and then a bunch of like searching. It's not the it's one of those things where like it could work. Like I see the potential, but and it's not even that it's like bad, it's just the fact that there's something so much better that's been here forever. Look at that. Like anyways, so yeah, I thought that was interesting. Speaking of streamers, though, people are upset with Netflix outside of the whole idea of, you know, them charging more and more and more and more and nothing's improving.
Yeah.
With Netflix. Whereas when it comes to them doing or bringing films to theater. Now, they've done this before with several different movies. I want to say The Irishman was one of them, where it'll have like a limited release in theaters and then it'll go to the streaming, you know, platform or whatever. And I want to say they do that, or they were doing that at one point, because it allowed them to, I mean, there's potential in extra money. And then some of the directors were like, we're not going to give you this movie unless it has some type of theater run. But then also it allowed them to, it better position them to have, to win awards, you know, like the Oscars and such, like, you know, stuff like that. Right. So, but in this case, they are, the theaters weren't happy because apparently Netflix made a deal with Greta Gerwig. She is doing a Chronicles of Narnia, or a set of Chronicles of Narnia films for Netflix. And the first one is supposed to be dropping in next year. I want to say around Thanksgiving time. And what they did was Netflix has made a deal with IMAX to ensure that it'll have a 2-week exclusive release window for the film. So there's a couple things with this. In doing so, some of the theaters are unhappy because if you have something in IMAX that's taking up a slot for IMAX and then it's gone 2 weeks later, they're not going to make any money from that posting. Their thinking is, why would anybody come see this in IMAX when it's going to be on the streamer in 2 weeks? And they're telling you up front, like, it's going to be there in 2 weeks. And we've seen that. We've seen that with other films. And what happens is, it would be different if like people, like everyone flocked to the theater in those 2 weeks. Yeah, you're going to make some money. You're going to make concessions and all this other stuff. But if people don't go, it's locked in. That film is locked in for 2 weeks for the IMAX theaters. And so you potentially are losing money, especially considering a lot of movies are, you know, vying for that position.
Yeah.
Disney apparently has an unnamed film that's supposed to be dropping around the same time for IMAX. And so it's competing with something that's not going to be in theater. But it's different when it's like, because at first I didn't understand it, but it's different when it's like you have a WB film, you know, like a new Batman. And then you have, you know, a new Iron Man or something, right? They're competing, but they're going to stay in theater the whole time. It's like, oh, you could potentially go see them both. You could see one and then eventually go see the other. You're not losing a theater. But if it's something where it's like, oh, we're only going to be there for 2 weeks, it's like, oh, that could have been a theater I put my movie in, but I can't. And so I have to compete, but then I'm not really competing. And so, yeah, more people might come see my film. Yay. But I could have just had another theater, like a whole another theater or a screening could have been for me, for my film, because there's no other big movie coming out this month. Was it November? Mm-hmm. There's no other big movie. So I would have had all the screens if it wasn't for this exclusive deal. So I get whether they would be upset. And then the theater is like, we're not going to make any money because no one's going to come see it because they're going to wait for it to be in stream, be streamed. Mm-hmm. And so we're just wasting an IMAX showing of something that no one's going to watch. And so they were threatening to boycott. And this is coming from a site called Puck, where they have a newsletter that kind of goes out that talks about these sort of things. Mm-hmm. And so what was interesting also, though, is IMAX is apparently pushing back and saying that, well, we do have a button that we can press. You know, it sounds a little Drake-ish, not going to hold you, but they said they'd have a button that they could press, a nuclear option that would essentially force the cinemas to show the Chronicles of Narnia film. Okay. They're not talking about what it is. And I don't know if they want to go down this road like talking about, but they do say that we could potentially press a button and things will move accordingly.
So what do you think the button is going to do? Is it going to show some P tapes? Like what's happening? Is the button doing?
I think it's going to be Kendra popping up in the middle of the film. Like, hey, viewers. Or saviors. No, I think it might be something contractual. I think it might be something where, okay, you have, because the IMAX is something that's placed in theaters, I believe. It's not something that like Regal and AMC don't have they have IMAX theaters or IMAX screens, but they're not the ones producing the screens. So it's like a contractual thing. And I think they can press a button and be like, we can shut all this down. You have no movie showing in IMAX. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Because it's three different entities. So you have the IMAX, you have the theater itself. So let's say Regal.
Yeah.
And then you have whatever studio is actually producing a film.
Do you remember when IMAX was only... it's a three-way contract. Do you remember when IMAX was only in planetariums and stuff? Like museums?
Yeah. It was amazing. And It was. I remember going to see some wildlife thing when I was in like middle school, and I was like, "This is amazing!" It like covered the entire the whole wall was screen, and just like the sound was amazing. And now it's kind of like, I mean, it's cool, but it's like normal now.
Yeah,
I guess
standard now.
Unless you're watching like an Avatar film, then it's like, oh, this is amazing. The 3D is bananas. Yeah. But aside from that. I'm just not a IMAX person. Uh-huh. I would love to go. It just costs too damn much.
Oh my God.
So yeah, there's already reasons for people not wanting to go. I don't know. This is a weird thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like Netflix should just let movies be in the theater if they're gonna do it. Mm-hmm. Like if you're gonna do it, go all out and just let them be in the theater and then have them come on the streamer after the fact. Like Warner Brothers has been successful with that a little bit. Where they'll have a big movie, if it does well in theater, then it'll eventually go on the streamer. And it's like, oh, here's another reason for you to stream. Mm-hmm. I do understand that, though, Netflix doesn't really have anything outside of that. Mm-hmm. There's only been a few shows that have gone to like DVD, for instance, like The Orange is the New Black, which pisses me off because I'm like, there's so many things I would buy if you just let me buy it. But they're looking at it as like, well, it's all about the subscription. If you're not subscribing, blah, 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 then. What are we doing?
Yeah.
You could offset that money with theater tickets. I don't know. But the fact that they're beefing is hilarious to me. I'm kind of on the side of theater a little bit, even though I'm not going to go. Just because they're already in competition. So the fact that you can kind of like muscle your way in doesn't feel all that great. And then also Netflix has been notorious for having like a really, really good film. And not going to theater, and it could have made so much money. Like, it just could have made a crazy amount of money, and they just were like, nope, put it on the streamer. Like, the, what is that? The movie with the detective. something onion. No, what is it called?
Glass Onion?
Yes, Glass Onion.
Someone watched it.
That would, oh, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Not as good as the first one, but it's good. So here's my thing real quick, aside. I have a problem with mystery films that withhold clues from the audience.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that. So there's a thing that happens, and it's not as bad as in this film as like the Oriental Express, where you're following along with the detective and they find something. It's like, ooh, I got a clue, you know? And so you're looking at the clue with the detective and you're like trying to pinpoint like who did it. Like, was it Cheryl from room B when on her way to such and such? You know, she never really liked Christina. You know what I'm saying? So you're kind of trying to piece everything together. And so he'll have a clue. And he'll go and he'll accuse somebody. You're like, yes, I knew it was her. And she's always beefing with Christina. Christina, you shouldn't take that girl. And he's like, he'll say something that it didn't show. There was nothing. He'll be like, I know you did it because way back, you know, in the year 2000, you had a beef with, you know, Greg. And then they do a flashback to Greg. I'm like, who the hell is Greg? Where did Greg come from? But they'll have a whole flashback with Greg, and then they're like, oh, he's such an intelligent detective. I'm like, bitch, no, he got the script and he read it and was like, ooh, Greg, I'm gonna hold this to the end and I'm gonna surprise everybody. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like, either make it so that the clues are just for the detective so we don't see anything. Kind of like, what is it? Two Smoking Barrels? I think it's Two Smoking Barrels, where the guy, he walks into, the whole skit is him walking into the room. And he's like, no, it's not Two Smoking Barrels. What's the name of that film? Ah, it's going to kill me. But he walks to a room and it's a whole like comedic thing where he looks around, he sees all the bodies and stuff like that. And he's like, I know exactly what happens. And he says exactly what happens, but he's not really supposed to know. Mm. It's like a joke about detective films or whatever. Like, he's just like, oh, and there was a cat here. It's like, how the hell do you know there's a cat? It's supposed to be a joke. In these films, it was treated as serious. It was like, the film didn't show you any of this information. He just has it. I never liked that. The first film doesn't really do that. The first film, I believe, shows you everything in some form or fashion. So that's why I think it's better. The first film is better. But it's still a good film. And I think Netflix would have benefited from putting in theaters for a little while. Mm-hmm. Especially since they paid so much for it.
Yeah, they did.
It just makes sense. The last thing we wanted to talk about was Disney Animation Studios. So the staffers over there were able to ratify their first union contract, which is really, really big considering, well, one, they've been trying to have this. They've been doing this for like 17 months, I think.
Wow.
Like, they're trying to get it done, get the contracts and everything set up and signed and all this other stuff. And this will be their first labor contract. The vote was conducted by IATSE's Animation Guild, which I found out earlier, well, not earlier this year, but like last year, that Disney was not a part of, which is wild considering it's freaking Disney. Excuse me. Disney and Pixar was not a part of this. Excuse me. Animation Guild. And because remember when they went on strike a while back, I was like, huh, two big groups aren't part of that.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
Very interesting. And I think Disney was like, nah, y'all good. Y'all good. And so they were like, no, we need to unionize because duh. And so I'm looking at Deadline. Shout out to Eric Peterson. I think it's Peterson.
Okay.
They were talking about how it's the first labor contract. They voted and it was a 93% in favor of sealing the deal, with 96 of eligible voters casting their votes. So majority of the people cast their votes and majority of the people who did wanted to seal the deal. The contract provides for production workers to receive protections, including pension and health benefits. While they didn't necessarily have this, like, is it good health benefits versus not so good? Or did they just not have any? I don't know. But yeah, included pension and health benefits along with 24% wage increase for production managers and a 29% hike for production supervisors and a 35% jump for production coordinators, who are the lowest paid workers in the unit. So essentially, you look at that like when we'd had the actors strike, the Actors Guild and whatnot, and how they were not just striking for themselves, but also for the people who, you know, basically the staffers, the people who do the makeup, the people who work the cameras, the people who do whatever, they usually get paid really, really poorly. And they need to be able to, you know, make ends meet as well. And so they were also, so this kind of helps the Animation Guild helps them as well. And so they were saying that I want to say they had 839 votes and 93% said yes. So I think only 5 said no. And potentially it was them trying to hold out for something better.
Okay.
But from all it's, you know, people are tweeting and whatnot, people are celebrating, it seems like it's a good deal regardless. Like, you know, maybe we could have got more. They didn't talk about a lot about, I don't see anything about AI. I'm trying to see if they had like an AI clause, because that was a big thing where, especially for the lowest paid workers, having their jobs potentially, you know, soaked up with the AI stuff was bad. It's not a good thing. Or, you know, similar to the actors where their likeness could be used via AI over a certain period of time. And, you know, so they had to have some type of protection against that. I don't see it here. But I'm sure that it's something was said somewhere. I know this was something that was done with the VFX workers at Disney a while back. Same thing with Nickelodeon. So I'm pretty sure that's in there somewhere. I just don't see it currently. And that could be, if it wasn't in there, I could definitely see more than just 5 people or 4 people saying no, because that's a big deal.
Yeah.
But they were to ratify that, you know, earlier this week. So that's dope. I think that's really cool. I think everyone should get paid what they're worth. And, you know, when we were talking about, you know, anime and MAPPA and all the stuff that they're doing, you know, animation is tough. This isn't the easiest thing to do. It's very labor intensive, especially if you have to crunch. Well, anything with crunch. So video game development, you know, film, VFX and all that good stuff. They want what they want out of you and you got to give it to them. And yeah. We've seen how poorly that can go real fast. So I want everyone to get the money that they deserve. I want them to be able to eat and sleep, you know, have a place to sleep type stuff, and health benefits. Everyone needs health benefits, especially if you're trying to start a family.
Right.
So shout out to them. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I say that as if I have a project happening or anything like that. I don't. I'm just happy that someone's winning.
Somebody.
You know what I mean? And it doesn't make sense that it took this long. Like, I think that, I mean, Disney makes enough, right? I mean, you would imagine.
I mean, didn't they like have a problem with letting what's her face in for a ticket with her?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, do they have money? Maybe they're living on
borrowed.
Well,
that's probably why they have money, because they act cheap sometimes.
So they would say like, what was it called? Frugal.
Right, like Inside Out 2 was the highest grossing animated film ever until Nezha 2 dropped, which is going bananas. I need to see that somehow. But yeah, it made over $1 billion. Like, I think you can help them out.
I think they'll be fine.
I think they're worth it. I think they're really, you know what I mean? Like, you just made a billy. You know, like, I think it's okay. I think it's all right. Yeah, 1.69 billion. Like, good grief. Wow. And that's one film.
That's Inside Out 2?
Yeah, Inside Out 2.
Wow.
And on a budget of 200 million.
And Nezha just beat mind that. You,
yeah, Nezha beat, oh God. I think it's one of the highest grossing films, period.
I want to see it. There's like a retelling of Nezha's actually real story? What?
Yeah, apparently the first one did really well too.
Which I didn't see.
This is the first film, like, I think first animation or animated film to make a certain amount of money within one region. So, like, in Japan, it made a crazy amount of money. Wait, is it Japan? Hold up. Let me make sure. I don't want to actually say the wrong
country. I don't know where it was released. But I heard that it was.
No, in China. My fault. It made the most. So it was released. It's a Chinese film. So it was released in China, and it crossed what? 2 billion. And the first animated film in history to hit 2 billion. It also the highest grossing film of 2025 so far. the seventh highest grossing film of all time, and it is the highest grossing film in single box office territory in China.
Wow.
Which is bananas. So like it broke multiple records, and it doesn't seem to be slowing.
Mm.
I mean, it's slowed down a little bit, but it's still making a lot of money.
It's just crazy. I want to make that and this money.
Yeah, like this. You know, hopefully everyone there is getting paid the way that, you know, the way they should. Yeah, because that's crazy. That is crazy. So yeah, the moral of the story: Disney got it.
They got money.
Pay these people. Make sure that they're taken care of because they're getting you paid. Like I don't, you know what I mean? It's pretty self-explanatory
that
stuff.
Simple. It's that simple. And I just don't know how to stress how simple it is. Pay the people who are making you the money. Don't treat them like they should be honored to have a job. They actually are the ones who are making the money. Like,
right. And stupid amounts of money. Just stupid amounts. Anywho. That has been our show for this week. Shout out to everybody for hanging out with us. If you're watching on YouTube, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell so you're aware of all the new shows and whatnot.
Yeah.
And if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes or I was about to say Google Podcasts, but that no longer exists. Aww. They moved that over to YouTube. I guess people weren't using it enough.
Mm.
And it just wasn't picking up as much traction. So basically all the usual places, go ahead and add us to your RSS feeds and whatnot. We'll be back with more stuff to talk about in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to finally getting to break down some of these anime that I've been watching. I had a brief chat on Twitch. On Twitch when I was streaming about Death Note. And I don't want to get too far into it.
We need to do it.
I was in my feelings a little bit, so we're definitely going
to
do that.
We are going to do Death Note, y'all. We are going, we're going to do Death it. Note.
So stick around for that. And looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's it. I'm looking forward to the chats and to the deep dives. I mean,
yes,
that's what we love doing anyway. We love doing deep dives into things that because we just nerd out.
Facts. That's why you listen. You listen for the nuanced discussions, if there are nuanced discussions. Usually it's just us kind of like agreeing for the most part.
I know, right? I know. Or like giving our, this is what we do. We agree on a whole bunch of, and then sometimes when we like don't necessarily agree, we state our cases and then we agree.
Right? We're like, you know what? I kind of see what you're saying. Yeah, he was kind of a punk. I didn't think so at first, you know what I'm saying? He seemed kind of macho, but then when you say it the way you said it in that light, you know what I'm saying? If you squint real hard, he was squint kind of hard. A punk. You know what I'm saying? We didn't really like him that much, you know? That's a joke for Cowboy Bebop. We didn't like a certain character. we didn't like a certain character on that at all. The Netflix one. The Netflix one. Not the animated one.
Let's
the
be
Netflix
very
one.
Clear.
Yes.
Very
yes,
clear was the Netflix one. That
yes.
The show that should have never happened.
Facts. Facts. Although the ships look nice. I wasn't mad at the ships.
I wasn't mad at the ships. Yeah.
They were okay.
I wasn't mad at the ships. Only thing we weren't mad at.
Facts. Facts. And the people who are like, you know, I'm not even going to go there.
No,
it's cool.
We're not.
That's it for me. We're not doing that.
I'm already fading. I'm like, no, no more. No, no more Cowboy Bebop live action.
Yes.
Show that anyway. Yeah, that's pretty much it, y'all. Thanks for hanging out with us, as always. We really appreciate y'all. Stay tuned for what's coming up in the future, as Kenny has said. And don't forget to please be kind. Don't be a dick.
Yes.
Wash your hands, wash your faces, and your butts.
Yes.
And while you're at it, please wash your legs too. Because come on, people are still apparently not washing legs. Go to Lush. They've got some really nice Easter items coming out. Okay? So please, just why don't you go and do that. Happy Mardi Gras and Ash Wednesday and Lent and Ramadan, Mubarak. I mean, this girl ain't fasting. So, side note, why did one of my best friends call me and said, "You're fasting, right?" And I said, "No." As I was eating, literally as I'm eating Sour Patch Kids. No.
Oh, man.
No.
It's like, do you know the week I've had? I deserve Sour Patch.
Amongst everything else. But to deprive me of the one thing that was keeping me going.
Oh, man.
Absolutely not. If I have to be forced into this situation, then I'm going to need some sugar. And Sour Patch Kids were my...
Yes.
Anyway. Thanks, guys. We love you. Bye-bye.